Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
What up, world? Welcome on all to another episode of The Ocho, presented to you in partnership, as always, with SB Nation's blog on theboys.com. My name, RJ Ochoa. You know me, of course, from BTB and from right here as your humble host on The Ocho. It is Friday, February 21st, 2020. Congratulations. You made it to Friday. Hopefully, you have a fantastic weekend in store. The NBA is back. XFL's going on. The PGA Tour is in Mexico. The sports world, continues to turn. Yeah, that's what happens in the offseason, and sometimes the NFL can be a little bit boring. We are in some, we'll say it's a pretty fascinating day for the NFL. This has been a fascinating week for the Dallas Cowboys, despite the fact that the Cowboys themselves haven't really done anything necessarily in terms of their own merits, but goodness gracious, we have a lot to talk about, and before we do, I'm going to be honest, all right? That's what we pride ourselves on at BTB, right? And here on The Ocho. We want you to feel like you're part of the show, right? We want you to know everything that goes on. We want you to feel like it's authentic. We want you to understand that, we're trying to do our best to give you the absolute best Dallas Cowboys coverage and content in the world. And being fully, honest and transparent with you, I already recorded this episode. what we're about to record here, you and I. So I'm recording this Thursday night, late Thursday night. And, on Thursday I filled in on ESPN San Antonio's The Blitz. And, you've heard me talk about that often. And when I do that, my days can run pretty quickly. The day, it just flies by. And so I was so proud of myself. I took care of everything I needed to take care of before I left, to go to the station, everything. And I dotted on my I's, I crossed on my T's, and I even recorded the episode of The Ocho, right? This was Thursday early afternoon, and I said, it'll be fine. Sometimes, again, peek behind the curtain. Sometimes you do that in the podcasting world because sometimes you got stuff to do. And so we had a big conversation, you and I. I'm telling you, you really enjoyed it. We talked about Dak. We talked about, the Emmitt Smith fallout still, the Gil Brandt fallout, and it was great. And then, I was at the radio station. We were prepping, for the show. And I'll even be fully honest with you. I ordered Jimmy John's, and I ate Jimmy John's, and it was awesome. And the news about the NFL owners agreeing in terms of their portion to the new collective bargaining agreement broke. And I kind of thought to myself, it'll be fine. The podcast, it'll be okay. It's not too contaminated. But then, some things happened. I just thought, it's not going to do. It's not going to cut it. No way. No, got to re-record. So here we are, you and I, back again. I've already lived this, so I don't know if it's like a butterfly effect sort of thing. I don't know if it's remedial chaos theory from Community. I don't know. But all I know is you and I, we've talked more than you even realized today. So let's go ahead. And look, if you want more Emmitt discussion, more Gil Brandt discussion, just go listen to Thursday's episode because we got into it pretty deep then, and enough things happened on Thursday after that episode for us to talk about here today. Now, the first thing, and I already kind of touched on it, the NFL owners agreed that they had to pass a 75% majority in terms of their group. The new collective bargaining agreement has been agreed to in terms of their, what they have to do, I guess, to be blunt. And so now the proverbial ball is in the court of the players. And that's a big deal because, a new collective bargaining agreement obviously would change a lot. And there's all sorts of reports. NFL Network's Tom Pelissero had a tweet on Twitter at Tom Pelissero. The proposed CBA also reduces penalties for players who test positive for THC, eliminating any game suspensions strictly for positive tests. So no more getting banned strictly for smoking weed. That's huge. I mean, that's huge in the context of a new collective bargaining agreement because there's all sorts of things, right? And we talked about the, potential 17-game regular season and the new wildcard team. And we'll get into those things, later on as the offseason goes. But there's just so many things that are, that are worthy and demanding of our attention. And so this collective bargaining agreement, I don't think it is understood properly, which is what we're here to do. We're here to make sure that you understand. I know that you understand because you're a genius, but the people that you talk to, okay, a new collective bargaining agreement, I don't want to be dramatic here, but would kind of be a disaster for the Dallas Cowboys in terms of where the Cowboys currently stand and where the Cowboys currently sit in terms of the 2020 offseason. Why is that, RJ? I'm so happy that you asked. Now, I know that you know because you're a genius. You check out blogontheboys.com. You follow Blog on the Boys on Twitter at blogontheboys, blogging.the.boys on the gram. I know that you know because we've talked about this before, and you also subscribe, by the way, to the Blog on the Boys podcast feed available wherever you get podcasts. You can subscribe on Apple devices, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Google Play. Having to clear my throat because I've talked so much today. I talk so much to you. But anyway, if you need a link, by the way, to subscribe to the B2B podcast feed, you can hit me up. I promise I'll get you whatever link you need. I'm on Twitter and Instagram at RJ Ochoa on both. You can shoot me an email, rj.ochoa, that's O-C-H-O-A, at sbnation.com. But anyway, so as things currently stand, and again, recording this at 9:30 o'clock now at night on Thursday, February 20th, 2020, as the current collective bargaining agreement is written, this is the final league year. You've heard that verbiage before here. That is so critical right now because, again, sorry about that. Normally, I'd go edit this out, but it's been a day. Anyway, the final league year specifies that each of the NFL's 32 teams can use both the franchise and transition tags this particular offseason. That is gigantic. If you don't know what that is, you know, franchise and transition tags in general, I mean, we have all sorts of information if you really want to understand the depths of them, but in general, the franchise and transition tag are ways that NFL teams can protect players that are set to be free agents. If you don't want a player to hit free agency, you don't want them to hit the open market, bam, you slap the franchise or transition tag on them, and typically, generally, only one is available to each NFL team. So you have to pick which player you want to place the franchise tag on, right? Or transition tag, whatever the case may be. And so the fact that all NFL teams would be able to utilize both of them this offseason really served as an incredible asset for the Cowboys. We wrote about this last year. We wrote about this in March of 2019, how we talked about then, hey, next offseason, the Cowboys could have this, you know, really awesome, you know, tidbit in the CBA. I think that was the title of the article that could really help them because the Cowboys find themselves in a position, and we kind of forecasted this a year ago, where they have three big players that need contract extensions that are set to be true free agents: Dak Prescott, Amari Cooper, and Byron Jones. You knew that. And so while you can shake up the combination however you want, in all likelihood, the Dallas Cowboys were going to franchise tag Dak Prescott because it seems incredibly unlikely that they get a deal done before that happens, before the franchise tag deadline. And then they were going to place the transition tag on either Amari Cooper or Byron Jones, whoever you believe was more likely. Personally, I believe it was Amari Cooper. But that would prevent both of those players from hitting the open market, which would mean that the Cowboys could protect them. That's a big deal. And it seems like, and this is, again, my personal opinion, and you know, other people at BTB share these thoughts, and certainly a lot of our readers and commenters and listeners, but a lot of people had kind of sort of made the assumption, I guess, that the Cowboys have accepted that they're going to lose Byron Jones. And you know what? I think I speak for all of us that are listening here. We're all gathered around the proverbial campfire. You know what? If the Cowboys lose Byron Jones, not ideal, but at least they have Dak, at least they have Amari, they can figure this out. Maybe they spend their first round pick on a cornerback, whatever. Not trying to get too far into those weeds. But the ability to keep both Dak and Amari was, I mean, and is a gigantic advantage that the Cowboys have going for them. However, if a new collective bargaining agreement is reached, and so far, again, at the time of this recording, we have the half that the owners have to comply with. If a new collective bargaining agreement is reached, it will essentially render the ability for teams to use both tags moot, and they will revert to normal circumstances where they can only place one tag on one player. Now, if you have not figured it out by now, you need to know that this hypothetical world, which is, I would say, somewhat imminent and somewhat inevitable based on the rates that the collective bargaining agreement is sort of happening at. And again, as we sit on Thursday night, there are so many players kind of tweeting that they don't like the new CBA proposal and whatnot. So there could be some back and forth. But if this is finalized before free agency, and there's still a couple of weeks, you know, and those are going to be very important weeks, then Dak Prescott has all of the leverage in the world. I mean, all of the leverage in the world. And we touched on this at the end of Thursday's episode, because if that's the case and you and I were representing Dak Prescott, then guess what our point and our proposal to Jerry Jones, Stephen Jones, and the Cowboys organization is? Hey, dude, if you don't, you know, if you don't get a deal done with us, if you don't give Dak all the monies, you know, basically, you're going to have to tag him. We all know that. And if you tag Dak, guess what? You cannot tag anybody else. If you tag Dak, guess what? Amari Cooper and Byron Jones are going to be true free agents. You're going to be competing with the market for them. That is not ideal. So now the Cowboys went from a world where they were probably going to lose one of the two, probably going to be Byron Jones, right, to now they could potentially lose both of them, which would be a complete and utter disaster. And you know, you can play hindsight's 2020, but if the Cowboys had just upped their contract offer to Dak Prescott a year ago, I mean, we're talking $33, $34 million per year. Everybody freaked out about that last year. That would look like such a bargain now. That's what happens with these deals. We've talked about that. Matt Ryan 2 years ago got $30 million annually. Everybody freaked out. Now that looks super cheap. And if the Cowboys had done that, they would have the ability to use the franchise tag on either Amari Cooper or Byron Jones when this ultimate, you know, sort of hypothetical becomes a reality, and they would theoretically only lose one, maybe not even either. So now the Cowboys wait until the 11th hour is going to cost them in a literal financial sense, where they're going to have to pay Dak Prescott more money, and it could cost them in the capacity that they are now going to lose Byron Jones and maybe even Amari Cooper. Now, I should say that there is a ray of hope, I suppose, because, you know, look, you may think this, and I don't mean you, but I mean the other person. You know, the other person here might think, well, Jerry Jones is just, you know, the Cowboys, they don't know what they're doing, they're messing up. But there is a possibility because, you know, Jerry Jones is typically a big proponent for things like this, especially the NFL adding another wild card round, and or not round, but another wild card set of teams, a 17th game. That is upping the sort of value for every NFL owner, and Jerry Jones is obviously very involved in. When I was on ESPN San Antonio on Thursday, we had John McClain on from the Houston Chronicle, legendary NFL reporter, one of the best to ever do it. And I asked John, I said, look, you know, is it possible that Jerry Jones kind of knew that this was coming, that he was going to lose his ability to use both tags and is somewhat prepared? Here's what John McClain said on ESPN San Antonio. John, you mentioned the franchise and transition tag loophole that may be filled up and unavailable to the Cowboys now. Maybe I'm giving Jerry Jones and co. a little bit too much of the benefit of the doubt here, but in your estimation, do you think that they... You know, that Jerry Jones, at least, and we don't know the way the votes went, but that he would seemingly be at the very least somewhat in support of this, which would negate the ability to tag two players if he did not have a plan in place to, at the very least, keep one or two of these, you know, high-priced three free agents they have with Dak, Amari, and Byron Jones before the franchise tag deadline?
That's a great point. Jerry Jones is one of the movers and shakers in driving this agreement, and even though it could hurt him, but I think Jerry all along, you can't keep everybody. I expect them to keep Prescott and probably Cooper. If Byron Jones goes on the market, he's got a chance to be the highest paid defensive back in history. I think teams are going to line up to give him a record-breaking deal. I don't think they would do that with Amari Cooper. There's too many good receivers. It's a great year for receivers coming out in the draft. It's a good year for corners if you don't need one in the top half of the first round. So say they let Byron Jones go, they either replace him with a cheaper free agent or they go after a corner in the draft and they could even trade down. They might have their pick of all of them.
No big deal. John McClain said it was a great point. No big deal. No big deal. No big deal. But anyway, I think that if you're looking, again, if you're trying to be positive, if you're trying to be optimistic, I think there are two things to note. One is that this is not, probably not, a surprise to the Cowboys brass, right? Like, they had to have known that the collective bargaining agreement could be, a new one could be struck, and therefore the ability that they were potentially leaning on to utilize both tags would be rendered moot. And so they had to potentially be prepared for that. Maybe they are prepared for that. Maybe the preparedness is the preparedness to lose both Byron Jones and Amari Cooper. Who knows? The other thing is that, you know, Adam Schefter had a tweet about this where he said something to the effect of, if there's a new CBA, expect a flurry of roster moves. And it's possible that, you know, we've heard so much about how different players and different guys, and especially quarterbacks, are awaiting the new CBA to strike their new contracts because they want a piece of whatever the new percentages that players are going to get and whatnot. And so we'll see. So it also is possible that maybe the Dak deal lands right after the new CBA is struck, because maybe Dak's team is waiting for a new CBA to ultimately make their move. So who knows? But that's the positive side of things if you're trying to be positive. So it is what it is. But if you thought that was the end of the headlines on, you know, Thursday evening, boy, were you wrong. Let's get into the other massive one right after we take a very quick break to hear a word from our sponsors.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Kara Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prof G Pod, we bring you insights from blue flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. Not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds 4 times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
Welcome back. Hopefully you enjoyed the break. I got a bottle of water. It was a room temp one. Sometimes I'm in a room temp mood. You know, sometimes I don't want cold. I don't want to, like, you know, it's weird how, like, sometimes cold can burn your throat. So, you know, shout out to my room temp Nestle water. Nestle, if you're listening, what's up? Let's talk. But anyway, so we talked about Dak Prescott, new CBA, disaster, smash the glass. What is it, DEFCON 5? I think I've asked that before. Code red, whatever you want to call it. And so things, you know, things were definitely interesting on Thursday. And so I talked about, you know, already, you're definitely aware that this is the second recording of Friday's episode. And so I had already decided, you know, on my way home from the station, I already decided, you know, I'm going to re-record this. I'm going to make sure that we hit the right things. And I want to make sure because I love our listeners and everything. And then, goodness gracious, NFL Network doesn't necessarily drop a Gil Brandt-sized tweet bomb, but NFL Network gives us something that, well, I mean, it was extremely predictable, if we're being honest. Tua Tagovailoa, the one and only Tua, who a year ago many people thought was slated to be the number one overall draft pick in 2020 from the University of Alabama. Tua, who many people expect to go in the top five, either to the Miami Dolphins or Detroit Lions, and maybe somebody else that trades up. Tua. You've heard Tua's name probably several times, especially if you're a college football fan and whatnot. Tua is a very special player and certainly has a very, I think a lot of people believe, high ceiling. Obviously, there are injury concerns. We can go back and forth on Tua as a prospect. But Tua had a sit-down interview with NFL Network's Steve Weich. And Tua was asked if he could pick his team, who would he want to play for? And, you know, these are buzz questions that every NFL draft prospect is asked every single year. You can set your watch by this. And something that you can also set your watch by is that there is going to be a premier draft prospect that drops the name that is the name in the National Football League. Here is what Tua said to Steve Weich on NFL Network.
Is there any team you're looking at like, man, I'd be good in that system or that system?
If you're saying to me, if I could choose what team I want to play on as far as my favorite team growing up, then I'd probably tell you the Cowboys. But, I mean, they're so far down.
Bump Dak Prescott.
No, I'm not trying to bump them. I'll learn under them, you know.
And you'd be willing to learn.
Mm-hmm.
But you know the fans are just waiting to get you over. You're such a popular young man.
Thank you.
How would you handle a dynamic like that?
I mean, I'd handle it the way that, you know, the coaches there want to handle it. You know, honestly, I just want to be able to play again. I wouldn't mind learning under whatever guy that's the starter. Give me a whole year to rest up, you know, and then go back out and compete. But, you know, I just want to go back out and play.
So Tua wants to play for the Dallas Cowboys. What? Totally didn't see this coming. This took us totally by surprise. This is the kind of thing that, and look, I know that we have some listeners and some readers and some viewers and some people, and we're all good people. I know we have some people that are anti-Dak Prescott, right? And these people have suggested a variety of options for the Dallas Cowboys to replace him with. Trade up, trade Dak to the Bengals, get the number one overall draft pick, go get Joe Burrow, trade Dak, sign Tom Brady, trade Dak, bring in Teddy Bridgewater, trade Dak, go get Marcus Mariota. I mean, you know, you've likely heard it all. This is only going to feed that in an enormous sense, because now those people, if you're one of them, maybe this is you, are saying, hey, Tua wants to play for the Cowboys. He said it himself. He grew up rooting for the team. Nick Saban coached him up. He's going to be great. He was slated to be the number one draft pick a year ago before the injury. Just give him time. Just tag Dak, even if you don't trade him. Just have him for the year, you know, and then let Tua heal up. And then in 2021, you know, let's go, championships, whatever. That is just, I don't even have words for the type of idea this is. But I think, you know, we should mention that it is not uncommon for high-profile NFL draftees or soon-to-be draftees to name drop the Dallas Cowboys as a team that they want to play for. Because they're, look, and I'm not, believe me, in all honesty, I'm not trying to accuse Tua of ulterior motives. I believe him when he says that, you know, the Dallas Cowboys were his favorite team growing up and it would be cool to play for them. You know, that all makes sense. You know, but to say that in an interview seems sort of calculated, right? I mean, that's the thing. Tua, let's get your name out there, bro. Let's connect it. Let's put your name and the Dallas Cowboys name. The Dallas Cowboys are the biggest sports brand in the world. Let's put them together in one sentence. There'll be headlines. There'll be everything. There'll be all sorts of stuff going on. They're going to talk about it on The Ocho, the best podcast in the world. I know. Their words, not mine. And, you know, it's going to be a thing. Think back. I mean, you can play this game a number of ways. And, you know, it's funny because all these people want to play for the Dallas Cowboys, and then when free agency hits, you know, where they at? But what now, 3 years ago in 2017, Deshaun Watson says, you know, somewhat jokingly, yeah, I would love to play for the Dallas Cowboys, at a dinner that Jason Garrett was at. This was after Dak Prescott's rookie season, and he kind of jokes around. That same year, Myles Garrett, who went number one overall, makes a video and says, Jerry Jones, please, you know, trade Tony Romo, who, you know, because at the time Tony Romo still hadn't gone to CBS, trade Tony Romo, come up and get me, etc. It is not uncommon. Jalen Ramsey, Zeke both wanted to be Cowboys. Derwin James had a big Cowboy thing. Jamal Adams certainly kind of flirted with the idea. I mean, this is not uncommon for players to do this. They, you know, I would say it's actually very common to a large degree. They use the brand of the Cowboys. Think about Earl Thomas. I mean, you know, I mean, just that's probably the biggest one. Think about Earl Thomas. People tend to use, and again, this sounds malicious, and I don't mean it that way, but, you know, there are times where the Cowboys brand is used and utilized and pitted against either a different team or just the pool of the NFL in general to generate pressure, to generate momentum, to generate discussion, because they are the Dallas Cowboys. When you combine the fact that this is Tua, and you especially combine the fact that the Dallas Cowboys are in contract negotiations with their current quarterback, Dak Prescott, and then you combine the fact that they may lose the ability that they had to utilize two different tags, the franchise and transition, and now Dak has even more leverage, like we talked about a little while ago. I mean, you have this, you know, gazpacho of just take, right? Like, this is a take gazpacho waiting for somebody to fire off on. And man, I mean, you know, it's I've said this several times already. I foolishly thought that this offseason was going to be chill, but here we are, not even through the end of February yet, and we've already got one of the biggest faces in the draft class saying that he wants to play for the Dallas Cowboys. That's these are good times. The good times are here. So look, we'll see what comes of all this Friday. You know, this episode's dropping late Thursday night, very early Friday, depending, you know, what time you get up or what time you, I don't know, what your morning routine is. Maybe you have a cup of coffee, you go to the gym, whatever. But so Friday is sure to produce a number of storylines, and you can bet your bottom dollar that whatever comes your way or the way of the world, we will have you covered at blogontheboys.com, SB Nation's home for Dallas Cowboys content. And if there is ever anything that we have to discuss, you know that we'll do it right here on The Ocho. You know that we have a lot of stuff going on. I can't recommend, look, obviously I have a, you know, a little bit of a bias, but I really believe that the Blog of the Voice podcast feed is something that you need in your life, okay? You get access to all of our shows. There's Bruising the Boys with Sizemore and with Tom Ryle. There's Talk on the Draft with Dalton Miller, with Connor Livesey. There's the 750 with two-time Super Bowl champion Tony Casillas and myself. There's obviously the 750, and you get the 750 every single day is sort of your update for what's going on in the world of the Dallas Cowboys. That's our goal. Speaking, by the way, of Talking the Draft, on Monday morning, you will have another episode, an interview We've been doing this a lot. Mississippi State defensive back Brian Cole II joins Talking the Draft to talk the whole process, heading into this point. By the way, everything going on, didn't even mention all the Dez Bryant stuff floating out there. Again, that's the type of place we're in, you know, that the Dez Bryant stuff, friend of the show, Bobby Bell, Jane Slater, doing great work with Dez, had a great interview. I don't know if they've posted it yet, but I believe that interview will probably be up on the Boys and a Girl podcast feed and stuff. Bobby had a great tweet about it and stuff, so make sure you go check that out as well. Lots of Cowboys content for you to consume over the weekend as we head towards the NFL Combine week, and that's when, you know, next week we're going to get all sorts of rumors, right? Oh, so-and-so, you know, is on the block. So-and-so's doing this. So-and-so's doing that. It's that time of year. But yeah, so make sure you subscribe to the BTB podcast feed. Make sure you check out bloggingtheboys.com. Make sure you follow us on Twitter and the gram at bloggingtheboys on Twitter, blogging.the.boys on Instagram. I'm on Twitter and the gram, same username at RJ Ochoa on both. And once again, if you need to talk about anything, you have any requests, any comments, any concerns, anything you want to hit me up on, you can email me rj.ochoa, that's O-C-H-O-A at sbnation.com. finally, you won't have an episode available tomorrow morning, however we will take one of the segments from my Saturday morning radio show on ESPN San Antonio, and we will put that here available for you Saturday, probably around lunchtime, so you'll get to hear myself and my co-host James Pledger chopping it up. Pledge usually comes with the hot takes, so get ready. So yeah, I think the second recording of this went well. So the first one's lost forever, although if it shows up in your podcast feed because there was an error, well, it would just kind of all make sense, wouldn't it? So whatever happens, happens, I guess. Do me a favor, all right? Have the absolute best Friday of all time. I mean, you got to have the absolute best Friday ever. I want you to line up every single Friday you've ever had in your life. I want you to rank them, and then I want you to say, this Friday, this one right here, this particular Friday, this is going to be the best Friday ever. You know why? Because you deserve it. We will see you manana, my friends. As always, go Cowboys, and peace out.